You're listening to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of LA Magazine. Here are your hosts, Brian and Gina.
Hello, and welcome to The Brian and Gina Show, the official podcast of Los Angeles Magazine. I am Brian Bishop.
That makes me Gina Grad.
And we're going to run down, first of all, Oscars are our rearview mirror.
Oh, yeah.
We'll give some thoughts on the show. Also have, so it's the purveyor of gift bags, but the way I read this laundry list of items, there's no way they could fit in a bag. So I assume it's a euphemistic name for a heap of gifts.
Yeah, we have this amazing and like kind of at this point, iconic, like staple of swag bag lore.
Right.
Lash Berry, he's been around forever, and he puts together these gift bags for all the award shows. And I met him before. I'm sure I didn't leave much of an impression, but he did. So I remember him. He was great. And yeah, I mean, I think he'll give you the dirty little secret that it's tiered.
I got the impression when I was reading the releases, it was like all of the acting and directing nominees get them. Like, oh, well, apparently the documentarians are sharing in this.
Yeah, I don't know that we're all getting Cartier watches and trips to the Bahamas, but some of us are.
Sure.
So he's very cool, and it's so fun, even, as you said, with this award show in the rearview mirror, there's always lots and lots, and he's involved in all of them. So what kind of pricey stuff do these elite get? The people who can afford everything, what kind of great stuff do they get for free?
Well, there was a lot of stuff that I had not heard of, which means I assume it's luxurious.
Sure.
You know, like stuff
far above our pay grade.
Do you ever find yourself, I don't know what situation it would have been in, but like you're in an office or a waiting room you're not supposed to be in, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden you're flipping through the Rob report and you're like, oh, there's a lot of brands and things I've not heard of.
Yachters Monthly.
Yes, not for me.
Exactly. So thank goodness we have someone like Lash who can sort of give us a peek, because a peek is the best most of us are going to do.
Totally.
So we might as well have him be our tour guide through the rich and famous gift bags.
Can I tell you something I was thinking? Maybe it's appropriate, maybe it's not.
Oh,
but
please.
The reality, I don't know how long he's been doing this. I got the impression it was quite some time.
Yeah.
But do you...
Oh, no.
So obviously, the vast majority of people who get these gift bags are already very wealthy and famous and
indeed.
Glitzy and may already have these things, may not need them.
Correct.
Do you remember a few years ago when Captain Phillips came out and one of the Nigerian immigrants was able to score a Best Supporting Actor nomination? I would like to, I'm envisioning a dream world where he is bestowed with a 45 bottle wine fridge and a trip to, ironically, another land. And he's
sure.
like, oh my God, I could really use this. Meanwhile, Meryl Streep's like, oh, this again.
Give it to my assistant.
Yeah. Yeah.
My friend used to nanny for a very famous actress who, you all know her name. And there was just a gift.
I think I can say who it is. If she's no longer the nanny.
There's a lot of unflattering tales about this particular person.
I really want to know.
So there was by the door in the foyer, like just like a kind of like discard table. And it was gifts that like people had given her that she does not even have time to look at because it's so beneath her. So that's probably where some of this stuff ends up. But I promise it wouldn't end up there for me.
Do you remember the outrage, like outrage being like, you know, late night talk show fodder jokes and such when it was revealed that Candy Spelling had a gift wrapping room like in her house? Really? You know, that was like, you know, Jay Leno had a field day with that. Like she had a gift wrapping room in her house, and knowing how these things work, that totally makes sense at the time. It was like, how silly. And now I'm like, yeah, she probably does. And honestly, she probably needs it.
Yeah, absolutely. The bows and the tassels. Yeah. So
the idea that like she's probably constantly sending out gifts to executives and what have you. And it probably takes up a small-ish room.
And if networking was like a major part of my job, everything would be regifted. Because I'd be like, well, I'd love to keep that, but I'm not paying for another one for this person's ass I'm trying to kiss.
Yeah.
So that's just how that goes. Gary's mother has a gift wrapping room.
It makes sense. Like, listen, if your husband or husband, that's so sexist. If that you own a business or, you know what I mean? If you're in business with lawyers or agents or whatever, like, yeah, you're going to give away a lot. You're going to give out a lot of gifts. You got a lot of birthdays in this town, a lot of bar mitzvahs. Like you are going to have gifts like piled up.
And also, let's keep it real. Gary, this may or may not include your mother. It's a craft room. And most women have a craft room.
Oh, is that
so true? You know, it's like, oh, this is instead of our office, this is where, you know, for crafts, like, let's keep it on, you know, the salt of the earth, man of the people. It's a craft room.
Okay. Fair enough.
Okay. That's where you're doing your what do you call it? Your little craft books. What are they called? Okay. Of course, Gary's books. Mom has a separate office for that. What?
Scrapbooks.
Thank you. It's where you're scrapbooking, but also wrapping your Fendi bags. So I got chock-a-block a weekend to get to. I don't know about you.
No, very boring. Well, I will say it was all in preparation of the big show, the Oscars. I spent all weekend hunkered down, you know, doing little exercises, speed tweeting just to get ready for the big. No, I wasn't doing that.
Doing, strengthening your fingers.
Yeah, exactly. No, it was a quiet weekend. Tessa, we took her bike riding. That was the highlight, honestly. Otherwise, we stayed in, and I honestly cleaned up a few movies that were left straggling before the big show. Most of which were good. You know, I here's the thing, Gina.
Please.
I spent the actual show at the Oscars, which we'll get to, live streaming for our audience on the Film Vault, my film podcast. Good time, enjoyable. And what was I saying?
You spent most of your time doing that. That was the weekend.
That really was the weekend. So I felt some responsibility to see these movies, and here we are. If I can give a minor plug to my show, The Film Vault, this is this week. Actually, once you hear this, it will have come out. Our big episode of the year, the Vaulties, the Oscars have had their say. It's our time to really see what the best movies are of the year.
And politics, be damned.
We'll let the Oscars have their moment in the sun, but now it's time for the final word. And that, of course, is the Film Vault's best films of the year. I got to be honest with you, Gina. I don't know what your track record is on seeing these films. I narrowed it down to literally 17 films that are all viable for the top five spot. We do a top five, you know what I mean? So I am having a tough, even we're recording in a few hours. I am not set on my order.
That's incredible to show you the diverseness of this show. Brian can't narrow down his 17 favorite films of the year, and I just saw Poor Things last night on TV.
Now, that's interesting, because Poor Things, I think, is great, but initially upon seeing it, I was like, what is this? What was the hype around this? I attribute it to the Lebowski phenomenon, which is there are certain movies, usually comedies, where you are so obsessed with keeping track of the plot and the characters and what's going on than the world, frankly, that you lose track of what's funny. Most people, myself included, I don't know about you, when they first saw The Big Lebowski, were like, I don't know what that was. I'm not impressed.
I don't get it.
Yeah. Only upon many rewatches has become a classic comedy, right? Like, everyone loves The Big Lebowski. And I think there's so much time spent. Dude, do you even know who Jackie Treehorn is or what he does in that movie? The point is, you're following all these characters and all this plot and all this kidnapping that initially you miss the jokes. And
you're working too hard.
That was the way for me with Poor Things, where it was like, I didn't pick up on a lot of the really funny stuff, especially with Mark Ruffalo, where I was just trying to follow the movie. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, between The Favorite, which is one of my favorite movies.
Sure.
And Lobster, I feel like Poor Things was Yorgos Lanthimos at peak Yorgos.
Yeah, he really came into it. He was a man in full.
And I was just like, I get it. We love the keyhole, you know, and we love the, you know,
the
wide angle
lens and all that.
We get it. We all get it. But these days, between theater, new theater, and movies, I'm always just over the moon when it's a brand new story that hasn't already been told.
Absolutely.
So This was I thought
for originality.
Oh my God. I mean, it does not get more original.
That was the thing that put Everything Everywhere All at Once over the top for me last year as my number one movie of the year. I was like, not only is this really good, not only is this enjoyable, et cetera, et cetera. It's a breath of fresh air. I hope more movies are like this.
I don't want another revamp. And maybe it's great. I'm just, these days, like, it's so precious to see something that isn't being redone. Mm-hmm. And Emma Stone, and I just kept thinking about this interview I saw with, I don't know, somebody saying, well, it was hard because Emma Stone's a really good dancer and Mark Ruffalo is a really terrible dancer and we had to make them switch. And, I just thought, she really did work her ass off, work her top off for this movie. And I get it. And I thought it was, I thought it was weird and interesting and sort of fanciful and everything I think he was going for.
I think it's all that. And it's also kind of bizarrely funny. Like the more it sits with you. And I think if you ever dive back in at some point, like you'll realize it's funnier than certainly I gave you credit for at the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there is a lot of, there's a lot of sex humor that is borderline distracting where I'm like,
furious
I get it. She found a new use for a cucumber. Hallelujah. Right. Now, what's the next scene going to be? But right. I mean, a really, really well done movie. And I think anyone who didn't like it, like you said, either was a little confused or was just sort of put off by all the sex, honestly.
Yes, I can agree with that. I want to hear all about your weekend. I'm sorry to divert us, but you had
not at all.
You had a
not at all.
Few days.
Oh, my goodness. Well, careful what you wish for, because I've been having so much fun, popping in, being like, oh my God, they're letting me on Good Day LA Plus again. And it's so fun. I've done it 3 times, but then the first time I was on, I was promoting the book that was on the main show. So let's say 4 times just to make me feel better. And they had a last minute, I guess, dropout. And I was like, I could always be there in 40 minutes, add in 20 for throwing some paint on my face. I'll get there. So I was sort of a last minute fill in. I got there and I was like, no big deal. These women. Yeah, they're super nice.
When you're reliable enough to be the understudy.
I consider it a huge honor. So no problem, grab a blouse, curl your hair, whatever, get there. I'm just going to do what I always do, which is sit in, crack a few jokes, keep the ball in the air, and then let everyone else do the heavy lifting. Like, what's the big deal? And I got to stay for the whole hour. Super nice. Fun. Plug our show. So I get there and Christian, the amazing producer extraordinaire, says, okay, so let's go over everything. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm not presenting. So what? Okay. He goes, so you're going to be presenting this, and then I go, I'm sorry, what?
I am.
He goes, yeah, you just read the teleprompter. I was like, uh-huh. Yeah. In radio, they don't have those. He's like, have you ever read it from a teleprompter? I go, well, not live and not in well over a decade.
Long answer yes, or answer no.
Exactly. So I'm kind of starting to freak out and I'm thinking, oh boy. And this is right when I, now I'm committing to glasses, but I'm not wearing them. Like I'm not wearing them now. And I go, well, this will be, let's just see what font this comes in. So I'm like, you know what? New challenge. Don't rest on your laurels. Always be prepared. So I get on the show and I like kick off a segment after one of the breaks. And this is you and everyone hearing and seeing my first time ever reading a live teleprompter.
All right.
Well, when you're a mom, there are few moments you get to yourself. But a new poll is revealing a majority of us say, the shower is the only me time we get. Mm-hmm.
Do tell.
Yeah, it found the shower is a place for us to process our stressors, various emotions, and the ups and downs of daily life. And we have an existential crisis or two in there sometimes. Women say thoughts of money and the ways they need to care for their kids often sneak up on them in the shower. But 1 in 6 has even imagined themselves as the triumphant winner of a past argument while in the shower. I am that 1 in 6. The majority of women also say missing a sacred shower heavily impacts their mental, physical, and emotional state.
That's you. That's you doing the anchor thing.
Yeah. Not know.
You're accomplished.
No, you're not guesting. You're guest hosting. And I was like, oh, that's much clearer.
Oh.
So hey, that was,
you know, I think I know the answer to this because my phone is not buzzed, but do they allow men on the show?
I don't think so.
Okay. That would makes me feel better actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a estrogen heavy and that's the way I hope they keep
Fine.
So it was, the font was the size of a billboard. I felt so much better. I had an in-ear, which again is supposed to make you feel better, but I've only had one terrible experience with an in-ear, which is like during like election time. And right. Like, I'm not your guy to be like rattling off numbers while someone's talking.
I'm
not
curious actually. So do you catch crosstalk to the other anchors? Do they talk directly to you? Is it like you're tuning into air traffic control?
That's what I was afraid of. But Christian's such a pro and he doesn't want to derail anyone. He's just like, you know, back now or monitor or, and that's it. Okay. He's not like, you know, I've been thinking, I know it's six and one half dozen and the other, but you might want to.
Gina, I've told you this 1,000 times, but I told you once.
So they made it so easy. I was so relieved. They're the nicest. It was Aroxia and Sandra. Like, they're amazing. It was so much fun. Now, the one clip I did want to play is the one clip I don't have, which is me shoehorning our show, of course, into the conversation.
Yeah.
We had a guy on actually before my segment.
Oh, you had a guy.
A guest, and he didn't get to stay long.
All right.
But he was like a reporter friend of the show. Like, yeah, Brian, I don't think it's going to happen. But he has this one in literally a million cancer. I forgot what it's called. It's in his neck.
This really hurts.
This should hurt.
Stings. If he's bald, I'm walking out the show.
Full head of hair.
Oh, thank God.
So he had that to wear, for radiation, he brought it in. It was like a giant, stiff, like top of the head to middle of the chest. It looked like chainmail, but it's plastic. It fitted exactly to his face, and they'd like strap him in it down to the like radiation table for like 45 minutes.
Do you not recall that vivid description from my book, best-selling book, Shrinkage?
No, I just focused mostly on Mount Douchemore.
That said, yes, for radiation, they will take the tennis racket, as it were, heat it up, get it pliable, and then stretch it over your face until it hardens.
Was it on the... They did your face, like you had to sit... I thought yours, you'd have to be like on your front, like on your...
I'm on my back. And they take the tennis racket, get it nice and heated up, like I said, pliable, stretch it over your face. So it makes a very weird mesh mask thing. And then it hardens and that's your mask.
You should be so angry at everything I'm saying.
Okay.
Because I'm telling your story and you weren't invited to tell it yourself.
It's really horrible. Wait, I'm sorry. Who is this guy?
I can't remember.
No, I'm sorry. What is his relationship to the show?
Oh, he was a former reporter.
Okay.
For their news station. So a big family environment over there.
Okay.
And he, of course, took some time off to, you know, heal and do all this stuff. And somebody, I wish I had the clip in front of me, because as you know, when you finish a show, it's very hard to remember anything you said.
Indeed.
But I think somebody said something like, you know, you see the big picture, you don't sweat the small stuff. And I was like, I'm going to push back on that a little bit because the co-host on the Brian and Gina show, the aforementioned Brian, titular, has a different theory on that. And
there you go.
All about your story.
Wow, you shit on that point vis-a-vis me.
I mean, who else am I going to do
it
through?
That's amazing.
And I said, you do sweat the small stuff. It's a gift to sweat the small stuff. That's life. That's living. That's being in the present. And of course, that's the only clip I don't have for you.
But clips sure didn't happen. Someone provide this clip.
Yeah, I was looking and looking. Okay, we did the pickled jelly beans. We tasted the cocktails from the governor's ball. Where's the clip?
It went away mysteriously. They couldn't have you disagreeing with the guest.
I think that may have been an issue. So that was the shoehorned plug that I thought you would enjoy, and I'll try and find it at some point.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, it was great, and it was just a chef's kiss.
That's great. Perfect opportunity.
Thank you. I thought so too. So it was really fun, and just not for nothing, but in that clip, I don't know if you saw, I was wearing not one, but two Alex and Ani bracelets.
I did not notice that.
A twisty twirly bangle, and then like a chain link bangle, because I'm on TV. I want to look my best. Don't you? Hey, everybody, what's up? It's Gina Grad. And when you're searching for the perfect piece of jewelry, it can be hard to find a brand you trust. Alex and Ani has been creating meaningful jewelry for over 20 years, designing pieces that connect you with all of life's important moments. With an emphasis on value, there is truly something for everyone. They've recently launched their Everyday Collection. I could not love it more. These pieces are made from stainless steel and an advanced water-resistant plating method that doesn't tarnish. It has the look of real gold. It's beautiful. I love these pieces because they feel so classic, but they have so much versatility. Alex and Ani are also featuring some gorgeous pieces that I have right here, like Black Lotus, this gorgeous Black Lotus charm necklace, and their Stay Wild pendant, and their Wings of Protection necklace that have a classic and vintage feel. See that? And of course, you can't forget their signature bangle bracelets, which I'm also wearing. And I have a lot of their stuff. I have the numerology bracelets. I have the hula dancer to commemorate a meaningful trip I took to Hawaii. From classic to bold statement pieces, Alex and Ani makes it easy to sprinkle your personality into each piece or make a truly meaningful gift for someone you care about. Meanwhile, you can take comfort in knowing that you're shopping with a socially conscious brand, as Alex and Ani has donated over $60 million to nonprofits worldwide, connecting fashion and philanthropy in an easy, fun, affordable way. Right now, Alex and Ani is offering our audience 20% off. So check their gorgeous collection out at alexandani.com and use the promo code MEIDAS. That's M-E-I-D-A-S at alexandani.com. Use that promo code at checkout for 20% off your order. Come and get something beautiful.
Look at you. You're Oscar ready.
Yeah, I had to be. Huh? So after being all, glamour puss and acting like I knew what I was doing, we headed over to our buddies, the Bousmans, Darren Bousman, of course, director of many Saw movies and so many horror shenanigans. Had a great time over there, but had to get home early because we were leaving bright and early for the Great Wolf Lodge.
What is that?
The Great Wolf Lodge is amazing. It's basically Vegas for children. And I mean that in the best possible way. It's an indoor water park. It's the size of like several airplane hangars, and it's huge. Actually, I'm going to show you a video, but I'm not going to talk over it because I want you to hear that. Which only happens to signal the waves are about to come in the wave.
All right.
Lots of screaming. So there's...
Where is this?
It's like Anaheim, like right past Disneyland. There's a kiddie splash pad with cabanas. There's a giant wave pool. There's a pool in the back for the kids to play basketball in the pool, which was very popular. There's a massive splash pad treehouse with water slides.
That sounds great.
It's insane. There's... another like more sort of adult or like kids that are not afraid water slides that I went on two of them. One racer mat where you go head first, which was awesome. And the wolf tail, which I was not prepared for. It was terrifying. And then the flow rider, you know, like on the cruises we used to go on when you get on the
surfing thing. Yeah.
It's crazy. So here's a snippet of what you will see inside the Great Wolf Lodge.
Oh, wow. That's indoors.
All of it. There's an outdoor area, but you're
sure,
really.
But I'm saying you could go now and not worry about the fact that it's 65 degrees or whatever.
No, I think it's probably the best to go in the winter because who cares? And it's always inside kind of warm because they know like thousands of kids are going from pool to pool and don't want to see little shaking Chihuahua children. So it's like it's kind of a hot house in there.
All right.
Which is nice. To say there was something for everyone is because my stepson does not go on water slides. He's decided he hates them. We challenged him to gently, not so gently.
Is he a sensitive boy?
Yeah, but like he's very cautious. Like he's a rambunctious when he wants to be, and he's cautious when he's not sold. And he's just like, I go, you know what? I respect you for digging in your heels. And there's plenty of other stuff. Oh, there's a lazy river. I'm sorry.
Nice.
So the lazy river, the basketball, the treehouse, the wave pool. I mean, this kid did not miss a beat, even if he didn't go on the water slides. It was the best.
Sandra, would you rather your kid be like your kid, cautious, overly so maybe, or like my kid, total daredevil, is like, that water slide, not big enough, so I'll give it a shot.
I mean, I think both of them probably have their pros. That being
I think,
said,
yeah, there are a couple of detractions from those.
Well, it doesn't prevent breaks because he already messed up his wrist and his pinky in the last year. So it's not keeping him.
That's interesting because Tessa's just getting into riding bikes and yeah. We make her wear the wrist guard, the elbow guards, the knee guards, and of course, the helmet every time. No, knock on wood, as I am right now. No broken bones.
God bless.
But I know that's coming.
It's possible. I mean, it's so random because this kid, like, I always think of Inside Out and he's the like, danger! But he's a cool, like, fun, like, wacky kid who just absolutely wants to keep himself safe. And I cannot fault him for that. I was the same. I wasn't going on water slides when I was a kid. Are you insane? You can't see what's in front of you. That's craziness.
Oh, I love water slides.
Now, oh my God, the wolf tail. That's all I can say.
It's weird though. I like water slides, but I don't love roller coasters, if that makes sense.
Interesting. And he's the opposite. Huh. Because in roller coasters, you can see ahead of you. And I get that. I'm the same. I get it. But this time I was like, what's the shortest line? And I picked it and it was this mat racer. Didn't know where it goes. Launches you over a giant steep hill. And I mean, as an adult, loved it. As a kid, I would be hospitalized mentally right now. But super fun. We brought one of his best little friends. So great. So Andy, me, and the friend went on the wolf tail, which is one of those four seaters. That's one of those like cyclone cones.
Is that like the one that goes round and round?
Yes.
Or does it go like a V shape?
Yes, that. The cone
that freaks me out.
You do. I was screaming. I couldn't. Yeah. I had the best time. I was also backwards, but it was so much fun. It's crazy. So when we got there, I was like, this is enough. Whatever this is, it's enough. We were given wolf passes.
Oh.
Cannot recommend these higher. Not just the part. Gary tried to keep
you up. You were given or did you purchase them?
I did not. They were handed to me when we checked in. Okay. I don't really know why. We just maybe were the lucky millionth customer. But I was like, I don't order these. And they're like, no, they're for you. And I was like, I'm just going to take these and run as fast away into my room and lock the door.
Yeah, before you realized your mistake.
Absolutely. I will never go there again without these wolf passes. They're amazing. You get, they have day glow, glow in the dark mini golf. Okay. So the kids got to do that.
Oh, nice.
Super fun. A bowling alley.
In the water?
This is like a resort, like a kid's resort, basically.
Sure.
And, we stayed at the hotel and everything. So it's like the lanes are half the length. You know what I mean? Like mini bowling.
Yeah.
Super duper fun. A giant arcade that's literally like Vegas.
Oh, that's Dave and Buster's-esque.
Yeah, I mean, it's insane. It just lights and sounds and funs and
this is all showing. In addition to the water park.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. There's the next picture is the kids shoving their tickets because this is where they get the real dopamine high. Feeding their tickets into
ticket counter. Yeah,
the ticket counter. Really loved that. And then it comes with there's this thing called the Magi Quest. They get ice cream, they get candy, but the Magi Quest they get to pick out a wand, like a nice wand, like a heavy wand to take home. And through the whole hotel, there's a scavenger hunt. And like,
is this like a Bible thing? Like, are they going to be converted?
There was an ark. They called it Showas. No.
Yeah. Sure. That. Sure.
It's just crazy. It's just chock a block of amazingness.
So is that a hotel connected also?
Yeah, it's all one big place.
Oh my!
And then you can just go for the day, but we stayed overnight, and of course, all of we were in the Gulf, and then my stepson's little friend yells, mascot, which I forgot is like a really big deal to kids. So okay. I'm pushing over kids like George Costanza to get my shot at the wolf.
Yeah, everyone loves the mascots.
Yeah.
There he is.
Oh, and behind it, there's a Build-A-Bear. They each get a Build-A-Bear.
Oh, thank God.
It was insane. I'm telling you, it could have been a complete shit show. It should be chaos, but it's not. Like, the place that, you know, the actual water park, massive, crowded, but like everyone's behaving themselves, no craziness.
You may not know this, but how new is this place? Why do I not know about this?
I don't know. I think Gary frequents this with his child. Great. Well, actually, Gary, can you look that up? I don't know. The first time I ever heard about it was, I think, from producer Gary from like back in the day. So it's not new. The bedroom, we had a wolf suite, meaning we had a bed, and then in a sort of a giant hollowed out, like oversized closet, there's two bunk beds with like a camping motif. So that was great. The buffet, the loose moose. Awesome.
Go on.
Great. Tons of selection. Like Andy's keto. And we're also there with children. And I said, well, this will be hilarious.
Yeah.
So the kids, it's from 97, it says. And they're everywhere. I mean, I highly recommend this if you have kids. My friends in Kansas City go to theirs. I mean, they're everywhere. I was like, oh, good luck to you, Andy, finding something to eat at the Loose Moose Buffet. Well, the kids were having macaroni and cheese and fruit and chicken nuggets and pasta. They have like a homemade pasta station. And he had fish and baked chicken and vegetables and was completely happy. So just like, I gotta tell you, a really nice place.
It sounds like my experience the one time going to Casino Morongo, where I'm like, you know what?
Morongo's good.
For not Vegas, this is all right.
Yeah, Morongo.
This has exceeded my expectations.
Pretty high end, actually. It's a nice, So this was a lot of fun. I mean, were we exhausted? Beyond. But it's because you're just up and doing and walking. And also something that was a big deal for us, which I imagine we're not alone. Oh, yeah. There is a Dunkin' Donuts. The kids did get a donut. 3 restaurants, candy store, one-stop shop. Yeah, there's no reason to leave because they said, you can go to Red Robin. No. I'm not. No, we're staying.
Leaving the property.
Another thing that I'm sure they did on purpose for many reasons, but the giant water park has one way in and one way out. So you'd think that would be a pain. And through the store, of course.
Yeah.
You think it would be horrible and enter. It's actually awesome because we had an 8-year-old and a 9-year-old running around and we didn't know where they were and we didn't worry. Because there weren't multiple points of exit and entry.
As long as you're playing goalie by the exit, you're good.
Exactly. And we had thank God, a couple of our friends came. One got a cabana. So we had like kind of a home base, which a cabana in the kiddie splash pool. Amazing. And that way you kind of don't worry because you got your eye on the entrance and exit. And you're like, you know what? They're fine. They're probably in the lazy river. We're not worried. For a place that can hold like 3,000 people, you're really not. We weren't particularly worried about safety, and we're kind of like helicoptery.
As long as they stayed inside those four walls, you're good.
Exactly. So it was really awesome. We're exhausted with the kids. What would you rate this 1 out of 10? 10! It was a 10! It was a 10! Like just so much stimulation and so much like they are the kings of the castle here.
Did they sleep well?
They promised us / threatened us they were going to stay up until 4 a.m. trading Pokemon cards, which was the only bane of our existence. It was no fault of the hotels. But thank God they fell asleep around midnight. And we also lost an hour.
Oh, rough.
Yeah, so it was daylight savings. But we, you know, always wanted to get our bang for our buck. Got downstairs relatively early, threw a breakfast sandwich at him from Dunkin' Donuts, got our suits back on, and went back to the water park for like another 2 hours.
Got to get your money's worth.
Yeah, it's worth it because you get the day you check in and the day you check out. Like just feel free to stay, whatever. So it was a blast. We had a great time. My expectations were... There was a lot of anxiety around this process.
And it is it really called easy. The Wolf's Lodge?
It's called the Great Wolf Lodge.
Okay. All right.
And it was just, it was
maybe
a lot of fun.
The party, but that sounds great.
It was. And I can only imagine the, going on a weekday is probably like a game changer.
Sure.
Because it was very crowded. But again, like not a lot of wait for the water slides and there's room for everyone. It didn't feel crowded, but I can only imagine if you're there on like a random Tuesday, it's like The Shining, I would say.
Yeah, it's your place. Yeah, you're riding the tricycle around the hallways.
Exactly. It was fun. Again, everyone behaved themselves. Everybody, you know, you're kind of just chit-chatting with people. The rooms are, you know, comfortable. We just had a great time. And yes, I paid for this. So it was a Christmas present to my stepson. Oh. He finally cashed it in and we had a ball.
So was this his first time?
Yeah, all of ours.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just awesome. Be prepared to, you know, walk a lot without, you know, with your little bare feet or your water socks and, you know, just really, you know, hike up the water slide stuff with a raft, but it's worth it because the water slides are awesome. And or just like, you know, hang in the wave pool, whatever. It was awesome.
Seriously, go on the lazy river, float for a while.
Exactly. No code browns as the pool, public pool.
I imagine that'd be a problem.
Yeah. Everyone was just clean and sanitized and it was a great time. So if you have kids, and frankly, if you don't, I could see they're going with Andy and being like, we're just going to have a couple of drinks and ride some rides.
Might as well be the Cosmopolitan pool in Vegas. I'm just going to hang out.
Yeah. It might look a little weird for him, but you know, running around without a kid.
It just struck me. Yeah. Is this the place people would go to without kids, or is that a creeper move?
I didn't see anyone childless there.
Yeah, unlike Disneyland, where adults do go.
Yeah, Disney adults.
I feel like this is bring the kids or register for a list.
Exactly. But very manageable. I mean, they've thought of everything. So the whole thing, I mean, it just felt smooth and not chaotic, which as an adult, else?
That's a win.
About? Yeah.
Yeah.
So shout out to the Great Wolf Lodge. Had an awesome time. We will be coming back. And next, we're going to welcome our guest, Lash Ferry, who's going to tell us what's in those bags. We want in on those bags.
How big are the bags? I'm excited.
We'll be right back. We have our amazing guest, Lash Ferry, known as Gift Guru and Sultan of Swag, and rightly so. He has all this amazing, innovative stuff to put in all the biggest and best Hollywood celebrity gift bags. He's done them all. Grammys, BET Awards, Tonys, American Music Awards, People's Choice, Country. The list goes on and on and on and on. And of course, for the Oscars that just passed. Lash, welcome. Tell us everything.
Thanks for having me on. Yeah, I've been doing this for a minute. We just did our 25th official Grammys.
Wow.
So some events I've been able to do for 25 years, and some of the shows on that list, one and done. One was enough.
I'm sure. I wanted to reintroduce myself. There is literally zero reason you should remember me. I remember you. You came on a morning show I was on many years ago and brought the coolest stuff. These gorgeous, it was the Mark in the Morning show on 100.3 The Sound. You brought these designer chocolates. You brought this like selfie tennis ball thing for like dog selfies, which is still one of my favorite things I've ever seen. And just you've clearly been into this for a long time.
Been doing it for a minute. And I have to say, one of the things I still to this day love doing is sharing products that I'm using in my real life. So if you all transported over here and went into my beauty area, you'd see a lot of the products I'm sharing, like Niage Skincare and Institutum, and these things that I get to share, whether they happen to be Oscar nominees or not. But in this case, what we do is independent of the Academy, which means unlike the Grammys, I get to decide who gets it, and we only give it to the top category. So best actor, actress, supporting actor and actress, and best director. So literally only 25 of the nominees are getting this $178,000 gift bag that we put together this year.
And it's the nominees who need it the most, the actors, the directors. I mean, not, you know, the screenwriters.
They're struggling.
The neediest.
Meryl is struggling.
Yeah.
We do not do this out of need. We do this for the same reason that they get paid $20 million to get onto a film set. They don't need that $20 million either, but they get it because of the worldwide cachet that their name has.
Right,
and just think, for these small businesses, a lot of these companies behind me, female owned, black owned small businesses, having a celebrity like Emily Blunt or, you know, any of these amazing folks on the list, America Ferrera, using their product, being seen in their product. A few years back, last time Amy Adams was nominated, she wore the t-shirt that was in her gift bag to the gym the next day. It was photographed. It sold out.
That's life-changing for a small business.
For sure. For sure.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and it's not really about just about the big ticket items. We happen to have a $50,000 gift in this little box here. It's to a chalet in the Swiss Alps called Chalet Zermatt Peak. And that's awesome. But some of the things that the celebrities like most are things like this. You were just talking about children's activities and things. This book I'm obsessed with, and it's called Be Nice, The End. It's from Meet the Playground Kids, things that they can share with their loved ones when they get home. So it's fun.
That's great.
So that leads to my question, which is what's the breakdown basically versus brands that come to you and say, hey, we'd like to be considered to be in this year's bag, or where you're like, hey, this is cool. I know about this. I'm going to track it down. Hopefully you get it in.
I'd say it's about 75% brands finding us now, 25 years later. It used to be 100% us reaching out. Now it's about 75% brands reaching out to us or PR agencies who had a wonderful experience with us and have other clients that they want to plug in. And then 25% is my team on the phone, literally dialing for dollars or emailing for dollars.
Is there a criteria list? I'm just wondering. I'm seeing all this really eclectic, diverse stuff behind you. And, you know, you're talking literally everything from like, come to Zermatt to here's a children's book. Is there something that they all sort of have in common? You said, you know, small business is great and minority owned is always awesome. Is there like a deal breaker that you're not interested? Like, what are some of the caveats?
That's a great question. Really, the only thing I say no to just top of hand is anything sort of sexual. And I used to include that stuff. You know, I'm not a prude. Anyone who knows me knows that. And I used to include things that I thought, oh, how cool. Because, you know, Emily Blunt can't really just go to the pleasure chest like the rest of us and pick up fun, you know, sexual stuff. But every headline became about dildos being in the Oscar bag. And first off, I've never put a dildo in the Oscar bag, but no one fact checks. And so it just sort of derailed everything. So now if I go to your website and the word vagina or penis is on your homepage, I have to say no, just because the media goes crazy.
Focus. Yeah.
But that's it. Funny. Not to get too off color, but like, that's the only thing. And then otherwise it's stuff that I think I would either like to share if they were my friends or that I'd give as a gift. It doesn't mean I have to personally love it. Right. I don't like kids, but all my friends who have kids, they love their kids. And so I love sharing things that'll enhance their kids' lives.
Fair.
Not to put you on the spot, but if you can recall maybe an item or two from years past that maybe started off as, oh, this little thing from this little company. And if you were to tell people now, like, oh, yeah, in 2012, we included blank or whatever it was, and now it's a big deal. Do you have any? I'm sorry to put you on the spot for this.
Oh, it's not at all. Keurig is the first thing that comes to mind. Oh, yeah. When we first gave out Keurig, it had just come out. People were like, pods? I have to go buy pods now. I'm like, we're going to send you some pods. They'll be available. Like, you can find them certain places. And it was really hard in the beginning because people like were confused by this whole pod concept. And we really helped launch that company and get them on the
map. How the tables have turned. Now, if it doesn't include a pod, I don't have 15 minutes to wait for my drip.
I'm with you, girl.
Wow. That's challenge accepted on that question.
That was good. I remember when those came around, it was like 06-ish. And it was a big deal. Like, oh, you can just press a button and have coffee.
Same thing with LASIK eye surgery. We started giving out LASIK eye surgery, and they weren't from like the deals online, like half off because they didn't have business. Like the guy who did mine 20 years ago was doing them for professional athletic teams up in Oakland and San Francisco and, you know, some of the top people in Beverly Hills. And the first few times, people were a little confused. They're like, this is eye surgery? Like, what does it do? And then like a few years in, and now it's like everybody I know has had LASIK or thought about it or looked into it. And it's sort of like a known commodity.
Got any of those LASIK gift cards in there? Well, and I'm wondering, when you talk about a $50,000 ski chalet and the things that are just the rarefied air of the best of the best of the best, how do you connect with these companies?
Well, that's a good example. That ski chalet is part of a travel package that this year that also includes a beach getaway to St. Bart's from St. Bart Paradise. They can also go to the Golden Door for a $24,000 week of mind, body, and spirit renewal right here in Southern California. And there's a VIP travel concierge that we've been working with for the last few years, and she brings us amazing travel packages in her portfolio. Last year, it was a lighthouse off the coast of Italy that Stephanie Hsu went to for a vacation. So a lot of it is just through our contacts and people who refer stuff. But the trips have been really popular over the years. Windian, sure, which is in Connecticut outside of New York a couple hours, my favorite place to go. Ron Howard went, loved it so much. He had his son's wedding there. So for a resort like that, to be able to have these sorts of calling cards just by having celebrities who come there, it's pretty amazing.
And like you said, you can't put a price tag on that kind of PR.
It's stardust. It's also, you know, everyone brings up sort of the earlier point about why are you giving rich people free stuff? I'm like, first off, it's not exactly free. Every single brand you see behind me has been posting all week about the gifts they're giving to Emily Blunt and America and Robert Downey Jr. And they've been leaning into those names and leveraging those names. So there's certainly a trade-off. But the power those celebrities have to change the trajectory of these brands behind me is pretty powerful, and it's very moving. You know, there's a deaf single mom who owns a luxury bath products company called Hatsitatsi House. She's participated for a few years. Last year, one press hit alone that we got them, she sold out of her entire inventory, had to close her brick and mortar store to fill orders. She texted me saying, I'm in tears right now. This is the best day of business I've ever had since I've been in business. So it's very heartwarming.
That's I love hearing that lifestyle stuff is like, it's human. There's humans behind these products. And that's because we all think the same thing in our little lizard brains. It's if somebody has all the money they could ever want and has all the choices they could ever want, what choice are they making? And we want to make the choice they're making.
I love that. It makes sense. I love that. And talking about choices, to date, of all these expensive trips that I've given out over the last 22, 23, 24, 25 years, the most redeemed item to date was the animal shelter donation, where pet food was donated to an animal shelter in the name of the celebrities. It's the only thing Julia Roberts redeemed. Half of the nominees that year, Ethan Hawke, Meryl Streep, all redeemed it. So this year, PETA has teamed up with a vegan plant-powered dog food company called V-Dog, and they've donated 10,000 meals in the name of these Oscar nominees to dogs who are in need right here in the United States. So there's giving back as well.
What's the nuts and bolts on deliverables? Like, I'm guessing you're not sending a wine fridge to Brad Pitt's house, but like, what do you send to their agent? Do you send a manager? What is the fulfillment like?
It depends on the celebrity. It's wherever they want it to go. So, for example, Sandra Hüller lives in Germany. She wanted her shipped to her home in Germany, so we shipped it. Lily Gladstone wanted her sent to wherever she's staying in New York, so it would be there waiting for her. If they live here locally, like Bradley Cooper's went to his house because we've delivered there so many times, and we just coordinate with their assistants. So it's kind of depends if they're working and they want it on set. Jennifer Lawrence historically has always either wanted it sent wherever she's going to be back on set or to her mom's house so that it was there waiting for her. So we just coordinate that. That's like a pretty easy thing. It is always fun for my delivery people, though, when they deliver it and the person actually answers the door. Like the year Barry Jenkins was nominated for Moonlight, he answered the door and they opened it and all this. He was like, this is all for me. Was sort of like overwhelmed by, because it's like multiple suitcases that we deliver these in, rolling suitcases and duffel bags. Oh. And it's really, really cute. Rachel McAdams was having a meeting in her manager's office where we were delivering it that day. And she was in like one of these glass rooms and she saw the stuff wheeling in. She stuck her head. She's like, is that for me? Because a lot of them have heard shows like yours and they like see the press. And, you know, last year, Colin Farrell's person contacted us a couple months after saying, Colin just read an article about all these amazing things and he didn't get his. And so we followed up and it was like sitting in someone in his office that has been out for COVID and had forgotten to forward it. And so it got to him, but it was because he read an article about it and wanted to know why he didn't get it. So I always find those things so cute. Cause when you get a call or an email from Colin Farrell's person, you assume it's a problem. And so I thought something had happened where some brand had done something, but luckily he just wanted to know where his free stuff was.
Now, I know these are very wealthy people for the most part, so getting places is not a problem generally, but like, do you find the aforementioned Sandra Haller, she's German. She's much more likely to go on that Swiss vacation, I would imagine. Do you find regionalism works into some of these?
I find it's more about just the convenience and their shooting schedule. You know, if they've just done a movie in Australia for 6 months and are finally home, they're much less likely to want to leave home, you know, again, after just shooting a film. And if they've been off or it like aligns with their kids out of school and taking a vacation or a honeymoon, like Mark Ruffalo and his wife went to Italy the last time we gave him a trip and had like this amazing sort of second honeymoon and his homeland, as he called it on Instagram when he posted pictures. And sometimes they just kind of know we're a resource. So Viola Davis was in Hawaii on a vacation. She didn't like where she was staying. She remembered we had given her a trip to Hawaii. So she contacted our office and said, you gave Viola this trip to Hawaii. Can we get her moved over? So we got her moved over to Kalola Landing. She had a great time, posted all these pictures on social. So it's more about the convenience. To your point, they can afford to go anywhere in the world that they want. But these are vetted trips. They're pre-planned, like the chalet. Literally everything is planned. They get the entire 6-story, 5-suite chalet for them and 9 friends. They can bring folks with them. They get their ski passes. They get meals. Everything is just done and they don't have to think about it. And it's the time saving that's more valuable than the cost savings.
And from all of these examples you give, the one thing, the one through line that I'm really seeing is they trust you. You have built up a reputation where they can call and say, what did you give us? Because that's actually where I want to go. They trust you.
And there's also just the magnitude of it. Like there are people and all the gatekeepers around them now know our name. They know that this is a significant gift, that it's not just some random stuff that they're not, that it's really something that they and their friends and their families can go through and have fun doing. And to your earlier question, no, we're not including the physical Thor wine fridge. There's a gift certificate for any bulky stuff. And then they coordinate delivery because we also don't know which of their multiple homes they're going to want things sent to. So
I have the same problem.
You know, I thought of earlier, Gina, please. What I thought of earlier and reminded me, what happens, maybe nothing, maybe it's the same. What happens when like a Jacob Tremblay is nominated and he's 8 years old, or there's some outlier, you know, for age or whatever, if they just get the same stuff, or is it curated in some way?
We would take out, in that case, any of the alcohol, of course. Sure, sure. And if it were back in the day where funny enough, Quizanzine. Last time she was nominated, there was both liquor and condoms in that particular bag. I'm a proponent of safe sex. And so we had included that. And then, of course, we took them out. But to my earlier point, every headline was that I gave Quizanzine condoms and liquor. Even Jimmy Kimmel had made a joke about it. I'm like, I did not.
I literally did the opposite.
But I can't control the headlines. So there's always so much you can do.
Well, we appreciate you so much for taking the time. I'm wondering, before we go, I'm seeing all this wonderful stuff behind you. For us who, you know, it's going to be a tougher putt for us to be nominated for, you know, best director or best actor and actress in our life. For the rest of us, what's a couple of things that you might recommend that we should go seek out that we could afford on our own?
Go to the Miage skincare website. It's just miageskin.com. Their lip balm, game changer, and their eye elixir, game changer. I will stand by it. So fantastic. Also a super fun gift this year, under $20, the Rubik's Cube 50th anniversary. I love sharing this because I think for so many of the parents, they can say, hey, before tablets, this is a game we used to play. We also have Hey Dude shoes, which I've been doing so many interviews, and it's one of the things everyone perks up about. Super affordable shoes. You can live like a star wearing some Hey Dude. We gave them out the Grammys as well. I'd say half the items in here are quite affordable, under $100 that you can get. So not everything is a 50 grand ski chalet.
Fair.
That's so fantastic. And I have a stepson who is like kind of in his Rubik's Cube phase. So they are like kind of coming back. They're like kind of, because they're like, so is this a fidget toy?
Can you swipe this?
Sure. Yeah. You fidget until you figure out all the colors, and then we'll put you in a competition.
I don't even know what a fidget is. Oh, another thing that I love, that for any movie lovers out there, that there's a book in there called You Talking to Me? And it's from Workman Publishing, and it's a definitive guide to iconic movie quotes. I've been loving flipping through here. It's such great background. It's such fun story about some of the most iconic movie quotes and one-liners from film. So that one is super great as well.
That's so great because we say those things now and we don't even know where they came from.
That's true.
And this is the story behind them, the origin story behind them. And then another great company, movies, you have to have popcorn, right? So we have Eatable Popcorn, and Eatable did an official collaboration with the Academy. So if you go to the Academy Museum, their popcorn is in the gift shop there. And the most gourmet popcorn, elevated experience. My favorite is this whiskey and caramel. It's sort of infused with happy hour flavors. They've got a champagne and white chocolate, and there's literal like bubbles that happen in your mouth when you eat it. And then a black truffle and charcoal salt that's pretty great too. So I love Eatable.
I am so glad I asked. This is fantastic.
Seriously.
How much time you got? I can tell you lots more about more things you got to go out and buy. But I was going to say,
there's nothing you don't know. I'm sure you have a more official way to do this. So by all means, please say it's not done like this. But if there's a company that might want to reach out to you, somebody might want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to do that?
I love that you asked that. In fact, they're the amazing, you can kind of see it behind me, the red duffel bag from Overnight Travel Bags, the most gorgeous brand, bags and totes and crossbodies. He reached out to me on Instagram. This is a black owned brand. I love his stuff. At Swag Assets is my Instagram, and that's the easiest place to reach us.
Swag Assets on Instagram. And we should follow it anyway. This is the greatest peek into a world that most of us will never see firsthand. I love this. Lesh, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure chatting with you both.
Nice to meet you.
So don't forget us at Bald Brian, at Gina Grad. Like, subscribe, say something nice about us. Constructive compliments, as you know, always welcome. If you don't like us, just yell it into your pillow. We love you guys, and we will talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Brian and Gina Show. To get in touch with the hosts or buy their books, hit them up at Bald Brian and at Gina Grad on Twitter and Instagram, or by email at podcasts@lamag.com. To get connected with LA Magazine, hit them up at LA Mag on Twitter and Instagram. Talk soon.